Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Entine, and I'm speaking to you about the week that we change years in. Monday is the 30th day of December 2024, and then on Wednesday we'll have the first day of January 2025, and the forecast period will be until Sunday, the 5th day of January. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is the new moon in Capricorn. 9 degrees of Capricorn, Monday the 30th at 5:27 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is all the time zone in the rest of the report, so you'll have to adjust for your own area. 9 degrees of Capricorn. I'm seeing something that's unusual for me. The most emphatic aspects with this 9 degree Capricorn involve two centaurs. And Chiron is a centaur. If you haven't heard me speak before, there are other centaurs that I do include, sometimes asteroids and other kinds of things like dwarf planets. And if they're speaking up loudly in a forecast, they need to be heard. And in the time of the new moon, there is an exact conjunction to a centaur called Pholus. And Pholus was the one who kept the sacred barrel of the sacred wine that was not supposed to be opened until the absolute right time. And he was also a diviner of entrails, meaning the guts of animals usually, right? And so being exactly conjunct, the Capricorn new moon, there is something, the lid is going to be coming off. It has actually come off to a large extent because the sun and moon have just moved past. I mean, not the degree, but the minutes of the sign. And that has been a big deal. The lid comes off, big deal. And it's a lid that was involved in a prophecy, several prophecies of readers, psychic readers, etc. And that is because we can see the connection of 8 degrees, Aries being a square, to this, and that is the centaur Okiro. And she is the daughter of Chiron and his wife, Cariclo. And she was a prophetess, and she was very busy telling people truth in prophecy and truth in what that she was seeing. And they didn't like it, the powers that be. So instead of her being a centaur with a human head that could speak these things out, they turned her into a horse completely to try to keep her quiet. Now, one of the things in the news right now, and this has already been seen, is that certain people are having to get bodyguards because of a certain person who has vowed retribution against what he called enemies, right? So here is this Aries quality, the prophecy of the Aries quality of anger and attack and warfare. Well, Pholus has opened up something because of this, and this is going to be an effect on the government because we have the Capricorn new moon, so we can all wonder and wait and wonder what this will actually look like. Pluto in Aquarius is this week also that I'm speaking about going to have a completion of an aspect that Washington, D.C. is front and center. Mars in Leo retrograde at 2 degrees rising in the first house. That's like, you know, the first thing we see. And this is an issue of loyalty also, Mars in Leo, passion for being, you know, the authority person who has the loyalty and respect of the others that are on their side, so to speak. And it's opposing Pluto at 1 degree of Aquarius, power in change, power in, you know, some of the things about when we read, you can see both sides of something. Like somebody wants to have absolute power over groups and people and media. That's power. Pluto in Aquarius, media, groups of people. You know, so that's one of the things that isn't, you know, fluffy Age of Aquarius idea of Pluto going into Aquarius. But that's also true, that the transformation of consciousness and the power that goes into the group is also there. The power that goes into visioning and all the Aquarian things, and if you're a Substack reader of mine, you'll see it. A small article because of the holidays about the intuition download we're going to get, especially because Pluto is in Aquarius and trine to Uranus moving into Gemini. This is going to be big. So what we have right now is this opposition from Mars and Leo, Mars and Leo retrograde. And during the week, we have the exact opposition. We can feel it on the second day of January. It completes at 2:21 a.m. on Friday. And so this is coming in not long after this new moon, right? And it's in the chart. And one of the other things we see about this Pluto at 1 degree of Aquarius is that it is making a sextile to the nodes, which are getting ready to change very soon from Aries and Libra. So Pluto's trining the south node in Libra. And in order to make a change, we're going to have to look at our people-pleasing and our indecision and our wanting to keep the peace and all of that, which is the south node Libra quality. And we're going to be having to pull on the right leadership quality of a north node direction in Aries. And Chiron has gone direct, and if you were a Substack reader of my moon days, you would be having this podcast in there. But last week you had a whole article on this, Chiron going direct in Aries and what that's going to mean for what we're going to see coming down the pike. So this is, to me, the most important thing I'm seeing. And the Centaur Cariclo has been in and continues to be in a trine aspect to Jupiter retrograde in Gemini, which is trying to expand consciousness in the way I'm reading it, but which is also an information overload at times, expansive Jupiter, in chat also. And Jupiter has just come off a square to Saturn in Pisces. So a lot of people are in that Saturn in Pisces state, still sitting with Centaur Nessus, the buck stops here, fearing now, especially seeing things being said that can affect government policies about how they're going to make it through. There's enough worry and skepticism and fear. And so Jupiter has just come off this, and they've been not being able to see this expansion of consciousness very clearly because of their skepticism and concern. So the new moon. Now the new moon is when you put your intentions out there. And I highly suggest that you don't let the skeptical, frightened stuff stop you from feeling that you can put positive intentions out there. Because you can, and that's your power. So think about the vision. The visions of Capricorn are most supported. Your career, your public life and status, your achievement of goals, and even what you're hoping about your government. And this is everybody everywhere, okay? So do that. Make intentions for the new moon in Capricorn. I could say a lot more, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go right into the weekly forecast now, because that was the only aspect coming in the day on the East Coast for Monday was that new moon. We might have felt a little lower energy also that day, but the moon will actually come into sextile Saturn, its ruler, in Pisces as the next and last aspect of Monday, and that completes at 2:03 a.m. So hopefully there's been some nurturing structural ideas going out there that are helping this fearful place get a little more peace. So after this, we go into Tuesday. It's New Year's Eve. People are thinking about, you know, what are the aspects of the evening. One of the better evenings I've seen in the forecasts for this event of New Year's Eve. Yes, because what's happening is after a morning square to Chiron and Aries, where somebody might be upset and offended by another person's attempt to actually exert their individual self and break with tradition a little, the Capricorn moon is going into the trine to retrograde Uranus and Taurus at 6:30 p.m. But then, more to the energy as it gets later for the New Year's Eve celebration and the moment of the New Year coming in, this is interesting, Moon in Capricorn, sextile Neptune in Pisces, 1:02 a.m. That is one of the most gentle, soft, compassionate energies. And that's how we begin in the East Coast and the Central Time. It'll be 12:02 a.m. That's how we begin the year. And I think that's I see it as a good omen. And I see it as a good omen for the evening, also, if you're out celebrating. However, there is coming, and it is also being felt, the issues of Pluto and Mars. And on Wednesday, when we wake up, we don't have a great time in the early morning hours. If you can sleep through them, the East Coast don't get up till 9. The moon in Aquarius, 5:50 a.m., joins Pluto at 7:45 a.m. So if you're on the same wavelength, and you want to be putting power into your visions, yes, get up early and do your meditation, set your intentions, and emphasize your visionary ideas for the future. But very shortly thereafter, the moon will oppose Mars retrograde in Leo, 8:53 a.m. So if you're talking about it with someone else, it might get, you know, not happy time at all, because fixed signs don't let go. You know, I mean, we think of Aquarius and we forget sometimes that it is fixed, and sometimes that will, it's an air sign, is very stubborn. You know, and it doesn't let go of the perceptions very easily. So neither does Mars and Leo. So, you know, if you have a conflict of interest here, and maybe even about finances and going forward into the new year, don't have that conversation with this aspect in the sky. Or, you know, that's the other thing, is that people don't forget. And fixed sign, you know, conflicts, if you say something, they don't, it's fixed. It's like this thing that goes into stone. And at some point, you know, you can have retribution for it. So just stay away. And I would say that's true also for this coming Mars opposition. So it's in the realm Wednesday, Thursday, and completes. It'll still be hanging around us on Friday. So just be very aware of this. But once we get into the day, we have a very happy day. If you want to have a brunch or, you know, have a party for New Year's Day, you've got Moon in Aquarius, the group, sextile, and it's waxing in light now. After the new moon, sextile, it's still retrograde, but it's still Jupiter in Gemini. So we have some upbeat, some humor. You know, one of the, actually, you've got the three signs of humor, in my opinion. Aquarius, which has Uranus, is always like a, you know, a surprise is where we get the laugh in a way. And Jupiter is humorous, and so is Gemini. So you've got all three. So you can have a very lighthearted and happy time if you decide to. And this goes all the way to 4:51 a.m. This is when Hanukkah ends. Kwanzaa ended on that New Year's Eve day of the first, and Hanukkah ends on the second. We come into the morning still feeling the moon trine Jupiter on Thursday, and then we get a nice happy sextile to Mercury in Sagittarius until 9:34 p.m. So things are looking bright. We will have Venus shift into Pisces on Thursday at 10:24 p.m. So gone is this lover of the eccentric and freedom and all of this. And now we get a very interesting Venus in Pisces. I'll probably do an article in the Moon Days for this because she is exalted. And, you know, I say Pisces has its ups and downs. So the exaltation aspect of love in the sign of Pisces is when we are in that total compassion that is what people call unconditional love. And that's a really high bar. You know, unconditional. Wow. Do we still have egos? I think so. So it's really a very exalted place to get to. And maybe we touch it now and then. And the more we touch it, maybe we want it. I remember a Tibetan monk, an ancient Tibetan monk, actually. He was on the floor. I had to get down on the floor. And he put his forehead on my forehead, and zappo, I was in this. But it only lasted about 5 minutes because I had to leave him and go back into a room full of people who were talking about stuff. So that's what I mean. It is at very high level. And it's wonderful, and wow, wouldn't it be great? Just remember that exaltation isn't always possible, and this is a mutable and changeable sign. And so we can be very creative, and we can love the spiritual. We can quest after that unconditional love with Venus in Pisces, but we also can be a prisoner of love. You know, the person who is taking in the wounded birds, yeah? And that is, you know, feels like you're doing something like unconditional love, but the wounded bird is a very interesting thing I also learned as a child when I would be walking in the neighborhood in the spring, and I think every child I knew had done this, picked up a little bird that had fallen out of the nest and took it home and decided that you would feed it things that it wouldn't eat anyway, but who was thinking about that, and make it all better. But the wounded bird usually didn't heal in the literal sense, and the human wounded bird will frequently take what it needs and then fly away, like the bird would have done had you been able to heal it. I think that many of us have experienced this. And many of us who are in love with people in a Piscean state of addictions and such. They understand how painful it can be. So we have the positive aspect of this Venus, which is compassion. At least we can be compassionate, more compassionate, and see what's happening in the world. I feel that as we're in this Plutonic Aquarian mode, that what we can do when we are in the compassion is to use that Venus in Pisces to take the suffering aspects, like we do when we're Reiki practitioners, and call in the helpers and see the healing. But we have to, in a certain way, detach the emotion from the outcome. Because in energy work, the energy, especially Reiki, they'll tell you, and I know as a Reiki master, it will do the right thing. It will have the most benevolent outcome, and that's what we can learn to ask for instead of an ego idea of what's right and wrong. The most benevolent outcome. And sometimes it doesn't look like what we thought it was. And sometimes it'll take years and years to see that this is really what was the most benevolent outcome when it isn't what your vision thought it would be. So Venus in Pisces for the beginning of this 2025 year, which is also a number 9. And I'm not going to get into that too much now, but that's completion, but it's also a power. It's a power of universality. It's not a personal number. It's a universal number. So we're looking at big concepts this year and how we apply ourselves to them. Meanwhile, Aquarius moon is moving to a square to the ruler of Aquarius, so partially received retrograde Uranus in Taurus, 11:13 p.m., so basically, the day itself, after the sextil to Mercury in the 9:34 p.m., I might have said a.m. before because of the way I drew the line under this, it goes all day. And then Venus comes in. And then there's this time period from 9:34 p.m. to 11:13 p.m., where there's a square. So that's where you get to stop talking about it again. You know, whatever changes about the future, just, you know, let that be for you within and do something else. Entertain, you know, with electronic media and let that moon square Uranus be in what you're streaming, whatever show you're streaming. But again, that Mars opposition is coming in strong. You know, it's been activated by the aspects early morning Wednesday, and it's been coming, and here it is. And it will take place again at 2:21 a.m. on Friday the 3rd. Yeah, and then we get a little breather, because we're still void, of course, with Aquarius moon, until 10:21 a.m. when the Pisces moon comes in and joins Venus at 11:21 a.m. So here, you'll have that full heart compassion energy if you would like to have it. And you may also be in contact with someone who's, you know, close love energy for you. And you may find creative inspiration. If you're a poet, this is a great time. If you're a spiritual follower, this is a great time to do some of that work. And it's musical. It's just a beautiful flow of energy. But you might get hooked in to an underdog experience. So we now have the moon going in Pisces into a square to retrograde Jupiter in Gemini until 8:34 a.m. on Saturday. So we won't feel this until we get into the late night hours on the East Coast because it's so far away. But if you're making a plan or something, you can bet that if the plan you make, unless it's for that particular morning or evening, it still might run into something that doesn't quite work out so well. But this is where you will probably feel a difference between the moon wanting to, like, you know, I don't even want to get out of bed, and that was a kind of a nice dream or something, so, and having to deal with the chatter. You know, we all wake up, and if we don't police ourselves, we look at our phone, and we can get drawn so quickly into somebody's message, something that happened, and then we're kind of lost. We've lost our peace, in a sense. So that's what you can think about coming in on Saturday morning, 8:34 a.m. Eastern. But we get a nice little sextile after this from Moon in Pisces to Sun in Capricorn. We get back on track, and we also feel sort of the rough edges of Capricorn are sort of smooth and round. And 11:32 a.m. It's a good time to approach an authority figure, especially with your dreams about something. They will be open to hearing you. But 4 minutes later, don't go past 11:32, because 4 minutes later, there's a big disappointment and a cold shower for the moon in Pisces when it joins Saturn. And that is at 11:56 a.m. Saturday. But the rest of Saturday is going to have a very good flow for Pisces moon. We'll have the sun sextile Saturn till 5:36 p.m. so we can get things to happen and we can encourage others. And then the moon is moving to an early morning 2:56 a.m. Sunday sextile to retrograde Uranus and Taurus. So there'll be some healing for whatever issues came up for the person who was looking over the changes in finance and this and that. Moon will square Mercury Sunday morning at 6:57 a.m. And so this is, again, you know, Mercury may be wanting to give you the latest philosophy and let's get going, and Moon in Pisces isn't there yet. And we do have a conjunction coming in the morning, 9:30 a.m., of Moon and Neptune in Pisces. It's very powerful. If you're using it for spiritual work, this is really powerful. Or psychic messages, yes. But it could be foggy, rainy, confused energy, 9:30 a.m. Void, of course, after that, so that lingers on until the moon enters Aries at 2:01 p.m. on Sunday, makes a trine to retrograde Mars in Leo at 2:25 p.m., and sextiles Pluto in Aquarius at 4:06 p.m. Sunday. So what we're looking at here is a re-entry of the Mars-Pluto, again, at the end of the week. But something, some Aries figure has come forward and tried to make things work out, right? And that's what we're feeling. And the moon, after 4:06 p.m. on Sunday, is going into a Monday aspect, which will be a sextile to Jupiter in Gemini. So it's not, you know, we end the week on a more positive note. Monday, we'll be talking about Mars retrograding back into Cancer. And our early morning aspect for Monday, the 6th of January, is Mercury square Neptune. That comes in at 8:56 a.m. The Mars shift is going to be at 5:44 a.m. So the morning is a little bit cloudy, and you might not be able to get your directions or your flight or your whatever going. So we'll be talking next week about that Mars and Mercury entering Capricorn, and we'll be in the second quarter phase, moving toward our goals. And so I wish you a very happy new year. I hope all the information that you've heard from me over the year has helped you, And if you need more personal information, you can contact me, Shelley, at shelleyantine.com, and you can get a reading for the coming year, which I highly advise. Lots of planetary shifts. It's going to be different in your chart, and you can find out where and how. Okay, I'll say goodbye for now.